Future Travellers, and welcome to podcast 153 in our series, You Should Have Been There, with me, Simon Calder.
And me, Mick Webb. And this week we have, as promised, a report from me on the rewards and challenges of travelling on the Spanish narrow gauge railway lines. Narrow in gauge, but quite broad in appeal, I reckon. And as for your contribution, Simon, I think you've got a confession to make, haven't you?
I have. If you were listening closely to the last podcast, you would have heard me saying, and I'll talk to you next week from Hong Kong. I think there was a bit of a diary malfunction, shall we say, and I'm actually sitting in quite a nice, at least comfortable and compact hotel room in Jerusalem, of all places, but more of that anon.
That is quite a diary malfunction. Well, pledges obviously come cheap in the world of travel, as well as in politics. And we'll be hearing more about what you've found in Israel in a bit. But first, in time-honoured YSHBT fashion, we need to hear what listeners have had to say.
There were lots of likes for our tweet about last week's podcast, number 152, and this was on LGBTQ plus travel with the marvellous Sophie Griffiths of TTG Media. She is both their editor and chief purpose officer, and she told us all about safe and not so safe destinations and where to find the best prides, one of which I need to say is in Tel Aviv.
Jeroen van Marla followed up another of our recent podcasts in which we talked about where to make the most of an airport stopover or layover. Jeroen tweeted, Singapore's great for an independent layover adventure too. There's a luggage office airside and cheap Grab app rides. I arrived at 4 a.m. saw sunrise in the botanical gardens, took the metro to a crowd-free super tree grove, then a grab back well in time for my Perth flight. Well, thanks for that, Jeroen. Simon, there are a couple of things there I didn't quite understand. What's a super tree grove?
Okay, I'm absolutely with Jeroen, except that I would always make sure that you have a full day. And I've actually done this in the past few months. You can generally, from wherever you're going, time your arrival, not quite for 4 a.m., but certainly 6 a.m., at which point you are set for an absolutely brilliant day. And I will usually book a flight back at about midnight, because that way you know that your day is going to be ending with a fantastic meal. I particularly like East Coast Parkway seafood. And then you just head for the airport. You sit around for an hour or so and you get on board and try and sleep your way back to the UK. But Super Tree Grove, I was astonished when I first saw this. They have created, from steel mostly, but in a kind of 21st century botanical garden, these enormous trees. It is a proper glade of trees, or a grove of trees if you prefer, and they are, let's say, 40-50 meters high, and they are connected by walkways, and you are there deluged by Southeast Asian flora, which is lovely, except that this is all inside a dome and it's a purely artificial creation. Having said that, I would absolutely recommend it, particularly at sunset, which you can, of course, do. And one other point that Jeroen mentioned, Grab rides. These are the local version of Uber, and in this part of the world, in Israel, the local equivalent is called Gett, G-E-double-T, and that will get you a good ride.
Oh, very good. And you can get a Grab or Grab a Get, then, is something else I've taken away from that. I haven't been to Singapore, and another place I haven't been is Israel. So what are you actually up to there, and how is it?
Well, there's all kinds of things happening in Israel, of course, and an awful lot of people will say, this is just outrageous. I mean, as we speak, we've got this interesting situation where El Al, the national airline, has just cancelled a number of flights in May because they will infringe the Sabbath. And this involves, of course, during the hours of daylight on from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday, if you are observing a lot of the Jewish traditions, you won't be certainly won't be going near a plane. And El Al grounds most of its all of its flights during that time. However, coming out of London, the overnight flight would require you to check in while it's still daylight in London in May and going into June. And so they've cancelled those rather than infringe it, because the boss of El Al is an Orthodox Jew who believes these things have to be observed. So I'm also, though, in a country which is wonderfully friendly and exciting and beautiful and full of people having a really relaxed, easy time. And I'm just kind of thinking, well, I know this part of the world pretty well. I've been in the south of Israel very often, to Eilat and around there. I've also been across the border to Egypt, where there is a much more sense of security and checks when you're going into anywhere. Here, the idea sort of seems to be somebody's watching you and they know if you're going to present a threat, and actually they don't think you are, and so just carry on. So an extraordinary mix between the incredibly tolerant city of Tel Aviv and what seems to be going on with the government. Traveller's dilemma.
Yes. And are there many travellers that you've seen?
Yeah. So a couple of varieties. You've got lots and lots and lots of Americans. They have been out in full force. Now, there's, of course, many, many Americans with Jewish heritage, and they want to come here. There's an awful lot of Christians in America, you will have spotted, and they want to come and look at the biblical stories. On top of that, you've got a very significant number of backpackers, and it's so exciting to find proper kind of hostels again, where people are just going from one place to another, and actually travel within Israel is pretty easy. Hitchhiking is still well established. Furthermore, you've got people heading for sunshine in Eilat, and well, weekenders. I met a couple in my hotel in Tel Aviv who had not been to Israel before. They were married. They were both male, and they were just saying how much they enjoyed being in a city where you were just free to be yourself. Mick, enough about life in the Middle East. I want to hear about your narrow gauge adventures in northern Spain.
Well, I began with a journey from Oviedo, a small city near the northern coast of Spain, to Ribadeo, a fishing port. I thought this would be a good place to break my journey to Ferrol, where I was going to start on the Camino Inglés, one of the shorter pilgrim routes to Santiago de Compostela, and a journey to recount another time.
And how was Ribadeo?
Well, it's quite an interesting place. It's actually right on the frontier between Asturias and Galicia. And its main claim to fame, other than its fishing port, is its Indian quarter. And the word Indiano in Ribadeo actually refers to people who migrated from this region in the mid-19th century and then came back, or those who made it came back, and they built some absolutely splendid houses to advertise the fact that they had made it big. So there are actually, I suppose, 30 really lovely mansions of various kinds dotted around Ribadeo. I ate in a restaurant called U Indiano, El Indiano, which is a fairly basic but perfectly reasonable Galician restaurant. And had I stayed until the 7th of July, I'd have been able to enjoy the festival of the Indians, where all kinds of events happened to recall the interesting past of Ribadeo. Anyway, I didn't stay, and I would say that Ribadeo was probably worth a sort of 24, or in my case, 18-hour stopover. The next morning, I went to the station in Ribadeo to buy a ticket to Ferrol. It's a mildly interesting walk past a shop selling small tractors. The school, where I think the playground chat was in Galician rather than Spanish. There was a Bagpipers of Galician club, a dog kennels. And when I got to this tiny station at Ribadeo, this is what happened. Well, Simon was interested in knowing what would happen when my very carefully calculated plan for my walking trip in northern Spain would actually hit the buffers, and it has hit the buffers already. Here is a sign up saying from the 10th to the 30th of April, which includes today, there won't be a railway service for some infrastructural improvements, which I think we'd probably recognise as long-suffering rail travellers in the UK. And it seems that I will be able to do this journey, which is 3 hours or so on the train, but I don't know how long in a bus, by replacement bus service. It says, I cannot take my pets or bicycles, I haven't got either of those, and there is also a map which says where the bus is going to stop. Yeah, it does seem to be outside the station. So, in about an hour's time, I will come back here and without my pets and bicycles, and hope that the bus is ready to go and take me with it. So I think I'll go back into town, try and get hold of a very strong cortado coffee to fortify me for the extremely long journey ahead, I hope. Otherwise, it might be back to the old favourite, which I know Simon would favour, which is hitchhiking, which I think might be very difficult around here. Well, we are actually leaving on the replacement bus service, absolutely smack on time, and after a very entertaining 10 minutes during which people from the bus and from the original train crew counted the number of passengers who were getting off at different places en route, and it seemed almost impossible to tell whether there were 7 or 8, but we've now settled on 7. I'm one of 2 people going to Ferrol, and everybody else is going to get off somewhere on the way, which is going to take something like 4 hours. You had to get a ticket from a very complicated machine before getting on the bus, and I'm very glad to say that the station master, who is an absolutely lovely guy from Ferrol, helped me to do it. During which process he sang in very reasonable English, one-way ticket to the moon. Well, this is a surreal moment. This one of our excursions off the main road to a minute station where nobody was waiting and nobody wanted to get off the bus. We've now got stuck behind an incredibly badly parked van, and the owners were digging a field about 500 metres up the hill, and after much hooting, one of them is now making his way back to the yellow van, and presumably we'll get it out of the way, and on we will go.
The joys of travel, Mick, but I need to ask, what was that droning song that was part of the public address system on the bus? And did you ever get to Ferrol?
Well, the song actually wasn't on the bus PA. It was actually a duet between two of my fellow passengers. One was a fairly ancient and extremely drunk fellow who had a bag full of leeks with him that I think he'd bought in a market. And the other one was a younger fellow who did seem to be quite the worse for Class A drugs. I should say that the replacement bus driver might well have held a previous position in social services, because he very decently picked these two people up when they clearly had no money. And he did ask if they were in a condition to travel, but didn't really worry too much about the answer. But we did, in fact, get to Ferrol after about 4.5 hours of journey time, and I suppose it was quite entertaining, and the countryside was quite nice.
Well, we will need, I think, to ask now for people to contribute their own stories of the kindness of strangers, because that's what we're talking about in next week's podcast. And of course, your bus driver was extraordinarily generous to people. So we are interested at You Should Have BT on Twitter, or leave us an audio message as always to hear cases where, well, let's broaden it out a bit. People who work in transport have been incredibly generous to travellers. But look, the main event on your narrow gauge timetable was to travel on the slow train from the lovely little city of León to Bilbao. Pretty lengthy business, I believe, and one that listener James Hatt enjoyed in 2003. He writes, looking forward to hearing of Mick's Feve adventures. Here's the now closed Feve station 20 years ago with live music on the platforms. It's an interesting looking location. Let us know, James, by the way, what they were playing, if you can recall that, what the music was. And I also note that León station is now closed. So that would appear, Mick, to present a problem for you finding the train.
Well, we did manage to find the train after some searching. It leaves from a much less fun station than the one that James describes, in a rather windswept northern suburb of León. And I should also say that we didn't do the whole 8-hour journey to Bilbao in one go, but got off in the charmingly named station of Redondo, which translates as round in English. But the narrow gauge adventure began properly at La Asunción, which is a halt rather than a station in northern León. And it is a very narrow gauge line, and the trains are extremely small and quaint. And the one that we're about to get on is, I could say, battered and graffitied up, and it's two coaches long, and we are going to be on it for about 6 hours, and I think our stop is the 35th I've managed to count on the line. It had a kind of slightly worrying yellow shading on it on the timetable. I just asked a railway employee what that meant, and he had to look up on his phone, although he is a train driver, he told me that it means it's facultativo, which means it's a request stop, so you actually have to ask the driver or the guard to let you off there. So anyway, we're going to do that. There is, I'm very glad to say, a toilet on the train, because as I said, it's 6 hours long. It is reported to be an extremely beautiful journey through the mountains, and this is late spring, so it should actually be rather lovely. I have managed to get in some supplies, bocadillos de tortilla, tortilla rolls, which look very nice. We have some water, and while I was actually waiting in the bar to get my bocadillos, a guy I was talking to bought me a red wine, so I feel in a very good mood and ready for the journey and anything it might throw at us. Steph and I are actually on the train now. She's gone off to find out if there really is a loo on it. Hola.
our driver's just got on and closed some doors. He looks a very cool dude. He doesn't seem to be wearing any kind of railway uniform. Voila. Another member of the crew has got on. Probably the other member of the crew has just got on and he's brought his own folding chair with him. I'm not sure there's actually enough seats in the driver's cabin for two people. That is too much. We've been going for nearly 2 hours now. Probably done about 45, 50 kilometres. I really can't quite say, but certainly not going very fast. But climbing steadily up from the plain of Leon, up through some kind of quite pretty wooded countryside, and now we got to a very nice another high plain with sort of scattered hamlets on it. And I suppose the highlight of the journey so far, other than eating our Spanish omelette sandwiches, which were as marvellous as ever, was seeing storks wandering around in fields like some run-of-the-mill bird, like a pigeon. And occasionally you catch sight of one of their huge higgledy-piggledy nests on top of a church tower. We're now stopped at a station called, see its name, Prado de something or other. Well, 2 hours gone and a mere 3.5 to go. Well, I think this journey has been very comfortable. And there is a little village down there, which surely must be our one. As often with the narrow gauge railway, the station is actually about a kilometre outside the town, but I'm sure it will be a pleasant stroll downhill. Muy bien. Muchas gracias. Inspector has indicated that this is us. And he's going to open the doors for us. Very nice. Muchas gracias. Adios. Buen viaje. Yeah, we are the only people getting off. Adios. Oh, well, our little train has disappeared into the distance and it has just rained. The grass smells lovely. There's a sort of farmy smell, but a nice one. You know what I mean. And we're now just making our way down across the railway line. We have to extreme su atención. We've got to look both ways, although, quite frankly, seeing... Hola, buenas! Seeing as there are only two trains a day, and we know that they've both gone, I don't really think we needed to take too much care. Anyway, yeah. So, downhill to the Posada.
So we trundled our cases downhill from the station of Redondo towards the village of Quintanilla del Rebollar, accompanied by the cuckoo. And 2 days later, we turned up at the station at the same time, because there's only one train a day in each direction, and the cuckoo was still cuckooing, by the way. We had to hold our arms out as at a bus stop and got the train to stop. And on we got for the mere 2 hour journey onwards to Bilbao.
Well, you have found, Mick, an extraordinary stopover. We were talking earlier about Singapore. You're in Redondo. What do you do there?
Well, we went for a very nice walk from our absolutely lovely posada, which is a Spanish word, quite an old-fashioned Spanish word for an inn, where we met an extremely nice Spanish couple. And this brings in our theme of the comfort of strangers again, because they, on our last day there, when it was raining quite horribly, they offered to take us out on a day trip. And so we went with them to visit some caves, to have a very nice meal, to see the prettiest village in Burgos province where we were, a sort of reconstructed medieval village in some ways. And then the icing on the cake was a ruined monastery, really lovely and atmospheric place where we wandered around amongst the decaying arches and things, and looked at the flowers, and very nice it all was too.
It sounds absolutely idyllic. Can I ask some rather practical questions? And what I suppose is why, I can see why the Oval on London's Northern Line is called the Oval, because it's very near a big cricket ground. But why is Redondo called Redondo?
Well, I did ask people in the village of Quintanilla del Rebollar, and they just shrugged their shoulders and said, well, we know why Quintanilla del Rebollar is called Rebollar, because it's a word for oak trees, of which there are many around there. But nobody seemed to know why Redondo was called Redondo.
All in all, this is a trip, Mick, that I would really like to do. So tell us about the practicalities, the cost. It sounds gorgeous, but quite tricky, particularly for people who don't speak brilliant Spanish.
I think speaking Spanish does actually help, but you don't need to, really. I mean, the train does go as advertised, and in fact there is a bus service from the middle of León, a Renfe bus, which takes you at the time the train would have left the central station from a bus stop very close by it. So in fact it's not quite as complicated as I sort of thought it was. The journey is quite long, and the trains are, well, not exactly state of the art, but they're actually a considerable sight more comfortable than those sprinter trains that we have, with their very, very terrible leg room, and their very, very uncomfortable seats. The seats on the Feve are really quite luxurious compared with that. The views as you're trundling along at a sort of approximately 40 miles an hour at most are absolutely wonderful. They really are worth it. And in terms of the practicalities, well, a train leaves Bilbao at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon to go to León, and one leaves León coming back in the other direction. And the cost is 25 euros 60. So that is, what's that, about 22 quid for a day's travel.
Well, it sounds absolutely terrific, and I can't wait actually to follow in your train tracks. Next week, we are really keen on hearing your stories of the kindness of strangers. When you've been travelling, when somebody has helped you out, but they didn't actually need to. And we're not talking here about hitchhiking, which of course I adore, and which is all about the kindness of strangers. It's when you've turned up somewhere and maybe you've been chatting to someone, you've had a drink, you've had a meal even, and then when you come to pay, it turns out they've actually paid the bill. Tell us your stories like that. Of course, you can send us a tweet at youshouldhavebt. You can leave us an audio message. Just go to anchor.fm/youshouldhavebeenthere and follow the instructions.
Yes, please do. And until next week, from me, Mick Webb.
And me, Simon Calder. Goodbye.
Goodbye.